Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Many of us here have been in hospital at one time or another. It was not an experience we relished. We may have been in pain. It was noisy. There was constant activity going on around us. Other patients were crying out, and all through the night, through which the light remained on. What kept us going? I suggest it was hope. Hope of being sufficiently recovered to be discharged and getting home. We live in a very troubled world. Here in the UK, we are spared at present from the prevailing suffering, oppression, hunger, cold, and lack of medical attention that the majority of the world experience, and from the harassment and persecution that comes to many Christians. Even so, we have plenty of troubles. These include the threat of climate change and environmental catastrophe, not to mention the uncertainty surrounding Brexit. Nearly every day at the moment, we receive news of friends who have died. Around us, there are sorrowing, bereaved relatives and those with family problems. And then we have our own personal challenges and problems. You know your own. What can keep us going? For Christians, it is the hope of getting home to heaven. Now, today's New Testament reading, Revelation chapter 21, page 1249, and please call to it, please turn to it. It begins, Revelation 21, page 1249, begins verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. In recent months, we have worked through the book of Revelation. This is our final study. It began, chapter 1 and verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. The book of Revelation opens up or gives light on the 2,000 years so far since then. It has given us a mass of information, encouragements, promises, and warnings. The immediately recent chapters, 17 to 20, record the final total destruction of all evil. Look in chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil was thrown. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur with the beast and false prophet. So we come to today's chapter, chapter 21. This is a massive chapter with masses of things in it. Please don't say to me afterwards, you didn't mention so-and-so. I want to look at it under three headings. First, the old or first order. Second, the new order. And third, the question, where are we now? And so then first, the old or first order, verses 1 and 2. Sorry, 1 and 4. The key word with regard to the old or first order is passed away. Look in verse 4. The old order of things has passed away. This is part of a vision recorded in the past tense, but not yet having fully happened. What are the characteristics of this old age which is passing away? Look in verse 1. It's like a sea. Now, in Scripture, the word sea signifies restlessness, storms, separation, danger, chaos, rebellion, and evil. And then in verse 4, there's reference to death, crying, mourning, and pain. Wow! What an accurate description of modern society, especially the cities. Think of the different features of that explosion on Hinckley Road, Leicester, last year. And then restlessness, danger, pain, and death. Some people have 3 funerals to attend in the next 3 days. I visited a friend with terminal cancer the last 2 Wednesdays. He was restless on his bed and crying out. And many of you have visited people in the same state. Bert, a reader in Birstall, died yesterday morning. But the message of the Christian gospel, the good news, Christ, is a message of hope. The old order is passing away. But then, point 2, the new order, heaven, earth, and the new Jerusalem, in verses 1 to 4 and others. Verse 1, no longer any sea, no restlessness, storms, separation, danger, chaos, rebellion, or evil. Verse 2, the holy city. The holy city means a city set apart for God, not rejecting him. The holy city coming down from God. Its origin is God. Jerusalem, the holy city, is a symbol of the people of God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then verse 3, referring to this new order, God himself will be with them. Now, even now, in the old order, God is with his believing people as his Holy Spirit. But in the new, after Judgment Day, he will be with his people in a much more personal and visual way. We shall see him face to face. And verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, crying, mourning, or pain. That's the experience of the Bert I referred to a moment ago. As I saw him on Wednesday afternoon, and as you have seen people in their final stages, probably stoking that heavy breathing, mourning, crying, pain. But in the new order, the new heaven, the new earth. No more death or crying or mourning or pain. And then going on, verse 12 and onwards, verse 9 and onwards. Verse 12 refers to the New Jerusalem having great and high walls. What do walls signify? They signify security. Security to those inside, from both going out or being snatched out, and from enemies coming in. Walls, security. And then 12 gates with angels at the gates, signifying access. What a prospect! The message of the Christian gospel, the good news, Christ, is a message of hope. But then my third point, a question. Where are we now? How does this apply to us? And I want to concentrate on verses 5 to 8. I've got two hands here. Let one represent the old order, and one represent the new order. But as you look at my two hands, what do you see? You see overlap. And that's where we are now. The overlap between the old and the new. The new has begun. It began when Christ came and announced the kingdom of God is at hand. But the old order is still very much with us as we wait for the return of Christ. There's a story of a young lady. She'd recently become a Christian, and she was very excited. And she was travelling on a train, and she looked up, and there in the opposite seat was a bishop. Well, she was an excited young Christian, and finally she plucked up courage, and she said to the bishop, she said, "Sir, are you saved?" And the bishop was a little bit taken aback, and he said, "My friend, when I believed on Jesus as a young man, I was saved. Saved from the penalty of sin." And he says, "As I have gone on, I am being saved. Saved from the power of sin." And he says, "One day, when I die and go to the heavenly home, I shall be saved from the presence of sin." We're in an overlap period. We're still in the old, very much so. We're surrounded with it. But we've got the beginnings of the new. Paul reminded the believers at Corinth, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Peter reminded his suffering friends, God's divine power has given us everything for life and godliness, to escape from the corruption in the world. That's 2 Peter 1:3. Where are we now? We're in an overlap period between the birth of Christ and his second coming, when everything will be fulfilled. Verses 5 to 8 were God addressing hard-pressed believers 2,000 years ago. Look in verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, God, this is God speaking, recorded for us. They are equally relevant to us today. And what does God remind us of in these verses? Well, first of all, he reminds us of who he is. We live in an increasingly secular society which tries to leave God out. We need to constantly remember who God is. Look in verse 5b. He's seated on the throne, the heavenly throne, as controller of the universe. Still in verse 5, he's the one making everything new. In the beginning, at the end of Genesis, verse 31, we read, God saw all that he had made. Can you finish it? And it was very good. It was very good. God is restoring everything to that end of Genesis 1, perfection. Still in verse 5b, whose words are trustworthy and true. This is in marked contrast to the words of many rulers we could mention today. God's words are trustworthy and true. And then in verse 6, he's the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is before all things, the cause and origin of all things, and he's after all things. He's the outcome and the glory of all. And then, verse 6, his invitation and promise. He's reminded us of the God whom he is, and now he gives an invitation with some promises. The end of verse 6, to those who are thirsty, what does thirsty mean? Eager to learn and grow in the Lord, not those who regard their faith as a spare time hobby, to those who are thirsty, think of how people rush for coffee. They can't do without their top up, their caffeine addiction. To those who are thirsty, eager to learn and grow in the Lord, I will give, without cost, from the spring of the water of life. Now, of course, that's symbolic language, but it doesn't take long to think what it means. I will give from the spring of the water of life. Friends, as long as we feel our need, God will supply. And then verse 7, a second promise. To those who overcome, and that is only possible through his grace and enabling, to those who overcome will inherit all this. An inheritance only comes as the outcome of somebody dying. And of course that refers to Christ. And the promise is, I will be his God, and he will be my son. That means having a close personal relationship with him. And I'm sure it doesn't only mean the male gender, it's equally the female gender. But then in verse 8, we have a warning. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the idolaters, and all liars, they will face the second death. The first death is physical death. The second death is eternal separation from God. All the unrepentant wicked are excluded from the kingdom of God. But the second death is not inevitable. What is the gospel? God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So then, the message of the Christian gospel, the good news, Christ is a message of hope. The old order of restlessness, crying, mourning, and pain is passing away. The new order will take over as the Lord God makes everything new. And what does this mean to us? Here we are, 27th January 2019. We're nearly at the end of the first month of 2019. It is to realize this hope that we have in Christ and live in the light of it, not least sharing that hope as being available to all. And then second, it's not only to realize our, but to be thirsty. To those who are thirsty, to the thirsty, eager for God's grace, more of God's grace, here and now, day by day, and for our home in heaven, eventually. Verse 6, to those who are thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Let us sing together. Hymn number 27.